And that's one of the hardest questions I ever get. I get radio listeners, they call me up and say, well, we're living away in the other side of the city. We can't come to your church. Can you recommend a church for us? That's one of the hardest questions I get asked. Because while I know some things about churches, I don't know the whole picture. I don't know the inside workings. And I always tell people to go and seek a church with their eyes wide open. I can give something of a checklist of the things to look for. But the Lord has to bring that. It's a bit like marriage. It's like somebody going, could you find a wife for me? Well, that's a big mandate. My idea of a wife for someone might not be the one that would work at all.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, and I trust that today the Lord is near to you. My joy to share the gospel with you, and I trust that as we spend these moments together, one with another on radio, that the Lord will knit our hearts together and that you will be drawn to the saving faith that I enjoy in my Lord Jesus as my Redeemer and my Savior. And of course, my burden is that you may know and trust in Him too. Today, our main message in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 on laborers together in the gospel. And we have a hymn, Here I Am, Lord, Send Me, by the Whitfield Choir. Our Bible reading starts with Ephesians chapter 1. You might be asking, what is God's salvation about? Who is it for, and how can I be sure it includes me? These are all vital questions that you need to take to heart. You need to know the answer to these things, and in the following verses of God's Word, Ephesians chapter 1, 7 through 12, you will get the answers. Let's hear these verses. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. Trusting in Jesus brings glory to God. Let that sink in. I'll restate the verse 12 again, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. When a soul believes on the Lord Jesus as the Savior whom God has sent into the world, and we accept all that Jesus was and did on behalf of sinners, we give honor to the God of heaven. Trust is a sacred covenant between God and men. When we trust, we stand upon the truth of God. We honor His truthfulness. We take God at His word, and we believe His promises. What does the apostle mean by we who first trusted in Christ? I think this is a reference to Paul's early conversion before he became a missionary to preach the gospel in various parts of the Roman world. He was saved first and then sent on a mission to declare to Gentiles who knew nothing of God's plan of salvation. Note that Paul was saved by trusting in Christ, who first trusted in Christ. These Ephesian Christians were saved in the same manner, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the truth of God. There are two things that are common to every born-again Christian, no matter where or when they are converted to Christ: truth and trust. They take God's plan of salvation as the truth, and they trust in it. Give to men a Bible, and if they are brothers in Christ, they will feed on it and stand upon its promises. If they are enemies of God and still in their sins as unbelievers, they will neither hold to the truth nor trust in the Savior. These two things are bound together for all eternity. Sinners need to hear the truth of the gospel, and they also need to trust in the Lord to be saved. So you must trust in the Lord. or else you can never be saved. You must feed on the statements of the gospel and stake your whole eternity on its truth. That is how to be saved. The Philippian jailer came to the Apostle Paul and to Silas in the prison and asked, "What must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Believe on, put all your hope and confidence on the work of Christ. Believe in his miraculous birth, his sinless nature as the perfect man. Believe on his sinless life. Believe on his atoning death. He died as a sacrifice for sin. Believe that. Believe on his resurrection on the third day over the power of death. Believe that he now lives to intercede to save all that come to him by faith. Believe and do it, and thou shalt be saved. There's the gospel. May the Lord write it on your heart. Now we move to our message today, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. May the Lord minister to your heart.
So how should it look? What do we do? How do we correct this? How do we put this in action? Well, I would say to you, if you're a professing Christian, born again, you really say, "This is for me. I want to be a part of the Lord's work." Well, number one, get baptized. That's the first thing. Make that an identification with the Lord's church and the Lord's way. I don't see you doing a whole lot until you take that step. Get baptized. It's a biblical command. Build up your testimony as a soldier of the cross. It takes some time. You don't walk through the door of the church and become an elder next Sunday. Doesn't happen. You got to build up your testimony. You got to be living the gospel to the full. And others will see that commitment. Join the church as a born-again member and commit to the life, the work, the ministry of the church. Serve in any way you can. Serve in any way you can. Some people might say, "Well, what is my gift?" Well, I'm still asking that question. What is my gift? And you might be 100 years old still asking, what's your gift? If you've got two hands, you're gifted. And you do everything you can. And the Bible says that your gift will make room for you. It'll be recognized by the church, recognized by God's people. They will call on you. They will say, "Hey, you've got some experience in this area. You know what you're doing there. Can you help me?" That's how it works. But if you, and I have to be careful because Dawn's down there in that back seat, but if you sit in the back seat all the time and take no part in the church, you can't, no one will see the gift. So put it to work any way you can. Now, there are many ways to serve. Faithful attendance. I can't emphasize that enough. Could you imagine that if everybody in this congregation was at every meeting of the church? Every meeting of the church. Every time we announce a meeting, you're there. Everyone's there. And if you're not there, you're the only one not there. And they all come on time. Could you imagine being in a church like that? There's not a latecomer. Everybody's there. Just that little bit early to prepare themselves, and they've prayed about the service before they come. They come prepared in heart and mind. That's all involved in faithful attendance. If you're dashing in, taking your seat in the full hot blood of the rush of the day, you're going to lose. You're going to lose out. There has to be that true giving. Corporate prayer. What does it look like in the local church when someone says, "I'm committed to the ministry of this church"? Corporate prayer. Your voice, your calling on God. Then there's hospitality. Now that could be as little as giving somebody the tomatoes from your backyard that you can't eat anyway because you've got so many of them at this time of year, or taking them to your home for a meal, or meeting them somewhere for coffee, for a talk. Hospitality. It's biblical. It's how you serve. It's how you build up the body. It's how you encourage your fellow believers. You get to know them. We're not robots. We're not You cannot do church electronically. It's face-to-face. It's one-to-one. Greeting and befriending visitors and visitors, I hope that when you arrived here today, you got a smile from somebody. I hope that there was a warm welcome and that before you leave, that there'll be something of a conversation that warms your heart. That's how church ought to function. Then we have another ministry that is not as visible, and that is visiting the elderly and the housebound. I drove by Costco and Walmart yesterday with a couple of errands to do to fill up from our time away. I thought on Mrs. Stuvey and the care home right there beside Langley Library. She's lonely. Now, I warn you, if you go to visit, you better talk loud. She needs you to talk loud and clear. But boy, she'd be so encouraged with a visit. And others. This is how church works 2013. Are you willing? I'm just being frank. I'm not just throwing out a generality and say, look, hey, we need you to help us. Here's how you do it. Are you willing? Now, I have somewhere in the conclusion that said, if you can't do it in this church for some reason, please find a church where you can. If you say, I cannot be a part of a Free Presbyterian Church for whatever conviction you have, I don't know what it is, what forbid you, but if you can't do it here, would you please find a church where you can do it, where you will be useful to God, where you will exalt the Lord Jesus in your life, where you will one day stand before God and you will receive the well done. Otherwise, you're going to lose out. Now, that means we've got to move on here. Verse 10 to 13 is the test of our building, the Lord's church. The test. Be careful how you build. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Here's a very solemn warning. If any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, it's going to be tested by fire on that eternal day. So if we're going to put all this energy into the Lord's work, building His church, we need to make sure that we're building on the right foundation. The right foundation. And of course, that is, what is the foundation? Look at verse 10, which is Jesus Christ. His office as Redeemer, His work as Savior, His cross work, His atoning blood, His sacrifice, His mediatorial work as our Savior presenting us before God. That's what we're building on, a gospel church. A gospel church that will stand the test of fire. Now, there are many things about the Free Presbyterian Church that will burn up. All our documents on that day will burn up. All our buildings will burn up. Everything that we see that's tangible, the things we touch and see and so on, all that'll burn up. But the gospel we preach, the way of salvation that we declare, the presenting of our worship to God will abide and stand the test of fire for all eternity. And when you're looking for a church, that's the test you have to apply. You may say, well, this is the most comfortable little church I've ever found. Boy, I just love these seats. I love the color of them too. They're orange. I love them. This is just, it reminds me of 50 years ago when I grew up. So comfortable. But if the gospel is not preached, it's going to burn up. Everything will burn. There'll be nothing left but ashes. We need to make sure that we're building on a solid foundation, building on Christ and Christ alone. Let me ask you, are you personally building on that foundation? Is your soul going to stand the test of that eternal day and the judgment of God's fire? Are you saved? Are you building your life on the foundation which is already laid? We're not building a new foundation. We're not building a new gospel here. It's already laid. Jesus finished it on the cross. It's laid now. Are you building your life on that? If so, you'll stand the test. The blood of Jesus will speak for you. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is Christ that died. That's the hope and the assurance of the blood-washed saint. We'll stand the test. Then we move to verse 14, 15, and you'll see the rewards of building the Lord's church. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. What a wonderful thing. This has to be, again, the benchmark of all our works. What we do as business people, work-a-day people, all those things are going to burn up. And that's why gospel work is the greatest work on earth, because we will receive a reward. Now, I want you to notice that the reward is singular. It doesn't say rewards. You cannot say that every single little thing you do for Jesus, there's going to be an individual reward. There's going to be a checklist somewhere in heaven, and you'll get rewarded for every single little detail. That might be expecting a bit much. I want to manage your expectations on this. But it says here that there is a reward. And the reward is singular. It's one great reward. What is that? It's the reward of being a Christian. To be saved from wrath and to be joined with the people of God who are gathered with Christ. And while the ungodly build on their foundations of wood, hay, stubble, even gold, it'll burn up. Your foundation, you have eternal life. That's a wonderful reward to have. And we're calling men and women to enter into this reward. And there will be a reward for service and for our diligence and our work for God. Lastly, we come to the appeal to build the Lord's church. Verse 16 to 23, I'm going to call that the appeal. And you'll notice verse 16 that the big appeal is that the Spirit of God dwells within you. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Why in the world would you not want to be building the Lord's church when you already are the temple of God? It's just a given. It's a no-brainer to Paul. And then verse 21, let no man glory in men. Therefore, let no man glory in men. That is the curse of our day, you know, in church work. You just walk into some of the biggest bookstores, chapters and so on, and go to the book section, and it's the big names in the Christian section, in the evangelical section. You'll see the big names. And there's a lot of empire building going on in Christianity today. And the money does no harm either to some people. Well, maybe it does harm, I don't know. But this is not for men. Paul said, we are nothing. Verse 7. Neither he that watereth, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth. We're nothing. It's all about God's glory. And then verse 21, one of the great statements, talk about an appeal to get involved in God's work. He says, for all things are yours. All things are yours. I have to say, as I looked at that verse, I scratched my head and I wondered, what does this involve? And we have to conclude, you get everything for serving the Lord. You get it all. Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Well, we have that for the gospel, and we lay up treasure in heaven. All things are yours. The Holy Spirit is mine. The revealed Word of God is mine. In the day of my death, it will be absent from the body, present with the Lord. Living for the gospel is surely victory for the Christian. and for God, for all things are yours. And therefore I appeal to you, as Paul appealed here in this chapter, I appeal to you, don't sit on the sidelines, don't lose the blessing, don't think that there's better things to do. Please look at this matter with all your heart, at least examine what Paul is saying in this chapter and what God is saying to you, and how you can earn the reward, and how you can enjoy all things. Surely there are many Christians that are living very impoverished lives. They're just babes. Impoverished lives because they're on the sidelines. They're somewhere at a distance. Now, it might take some time to work through something. I'm not going to browbeat somebody who says, well, I'm just not ready. I understand that it takes time to work some things out. But please go to the Lord and take this chapter and say, now, Lord, these things are for me and this is what I must do. Lord, help me to get into position and to be a part and to do the work of God. Well, I come to my conclusion now, and it is, if you can't do it here, do it somewhere else. It seems like a strange thing for me to say. Of course, we want to see this church grow, and we want to see this congregation shine for the Lord, and we want the Lord to be glorified here. That must be our burden. But if for some reason you say, well, it just won't work for me here, well, then please, please take this to heart. Ask God to lead you to that ministry where you can receive the reward of service. And that's one of the hardest questions I ever get. I get radio listeners, they call me up and say, well, we're living away on the other side of the city. We can't come to your church. Can you recommend a church for us? That's one of the hardest questions I get asked. Because while I know some things about churches, I don't know the whole picture. I don't know the inside workings. And I always tell people to go and seek a church with their eyes wide open. I can give something of a checklist of the things to look for. But the Lord has to bring that. It's a bit like marriage. It's like somebody going, could you find a wife for me? Well, that's a big mandate. My idea of a wife for someone might not be the one that would work at all. And church is a marriage. And it can be a happy marriage. Pastor and people, office bearers, everybody in their place, working together. With God. A God-centered, God-exalting, God-glorifying ministry where He is exalted and we are blessed and rewarded. Let's do it. Did you hear about the Reverend Brown, who is now the new minister in Dr. Paisley Church back in Northern Ireland? He gave his testimony of how the Lord led him. And of course, there were many things that the Lord led him from His Word and certain things. But one day he was driving along the road, and he met this bus coming along just around the corner, came out of the blue very suddenly. And prior to this, he was driving along praying, Lord, what shall I do? He had received a call from the congregation to be their minister, and he wanted to know the will of God. And this bus came around the corner, and it was written up in a kind of neon sign in the front, just go. And he said in his induction service that, you know, that the Lord used it. It wasn't the only thing. He doesn't take the will of God from buses that pass along. But I would say to you today, maybe there is a message from the bus. Just do it. Just do it. Let's put our shoulders to the wheel and serve the Lord. Now, you can see that this is obviously my burden for this church and for you and for us together in the weeks and months to come. And I want us to revisit this on Wednesday and pray about this and take it to prayer. After all, it's laborers together with God. And the place to really do that's in prayer meeting. So may the Lord speak and the Lord bless. If you're a visitor today and you're just passing through, thank you for persevering as we seek to exhort one another here. May the Lord bless you and encourage you. And I pray that the Lord will grow this church. He's able. He could fill these seats. If I have no burden for the growth of this church, I shouldn't be the pastor here. If you don't have a burden for the growth of this church, you shouldn't be a member here. If you're thinking about making this your church home and you have no interest in the growth of the church, just please let me know that at least. Let's talk about that. Let's be honest about it. 1 Corinthians 3 is a great chapter. It's a great chapter. May the Lord write it in your heart. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher, and I count it a great privilege to bring the Lord's Word to you each and every day. And I trust that you'll be with us here Monday to Friday, 5 and 5, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. here on this station as we let the Bible speak from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale, British Columbia. Now, I want to exhort you to send for our Bible study notes. This is a weekly Bible study that we put out, and we have a series ongoing on Genesis, God's Book of Beginnings, and it's a vital book to study. If you haven't studied the book of Genesis, you really haven't studied the Bible. It is the book of origins, and in this Genesis record, we have many foundational things to study. And I want you to get these notes. You can use them for your own personal Bible study, a family Bible study, or a group Bible study. And I want to encourage Christians, wherever you are, to get into the Word. So you can do this by signing up at our website newsletter, and you will get these notes every week by email. And they will be logged and archived on the site that you can go and download at any time. Just go to www.cloverdalefpc.ca. And, of course, our church services here, we want to invite you along Sundays 10:30 and 6. Also to join us by webcast at these times, Sundays 10:30 and 6, on our website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca. Thank you for listening to Let the Bible Speak today.